Smith was replacing the White House hotline in the bottom drawer of his desk when the blue contact phone jangled to life. He noted the time on his trusty Timex wristwatch even as he snapped up the phone. "Remo, where the devil have you been?"
"Hey, Smitty," Remo said.
The lack of reaction from Cure's enforcement arm to Smith's unusual fit of temper sent up an immediate warning flag for Smith.
"What's wrong?"
"Everything. Nothing. Damned if I know. Listen, Smitty, I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings."
Chun's impatient voice cut in from the near background.
"Give me that, or we will be here all night."
The Master of Sinanju came on the line.
"It has been the great privilege of the House of Sinanju to serve you, Emperor Smith. But lamentably all things, even good ones, must end. Rest assured that even as we set sail from these shores, we always remain with you in spirit. May your reign be long and free of distresses, large and small. Blessed are we who are fortunate to serve and honored to know that your crown and throne remain secure, thanks in small part to our meager efforts. All hail to thee, Smith the Wise."
Smith was not sure what to say to the Master of Sinanju, but fortunately Chun had handed the phone back to Remo.
"I guess that says it all," Remo said.
"Says what? Remo, what on earth was Chun saying?"
"Toodaloo. As in, we quit, I guess."
Remo did not sound entirely happy with his own words.
"Quit? What are you talking about? Remo, you can't quit. We have a major crisis here."
"Tell the ghost face goodbye and hang up the phone,"
Chun's voice hissed from somewhere nearby.
"We've all got a crisis, Smitty," Remo said. "You've got one there, and I've got one here. Believe it or not, mine might be bigger. But this might not be forever. Tell the kid to keep a light on in Fulcroft's window. Sinanju might be ready to serve again in another couple of decades."
"I sent Mark home to Iowa," Smith said. "Remo, tell me what the problem is. Maybe we can deal with this after..."
"No can do. Too crazy. Sorry to bail like this, Smitty."
After a pause, Smith said,
"Just one thing. Do they have newspapers in Sinanju?"
"No. Why?"
"I was just wondering if you'll be able to read about the millions of Americans killed in New York or Washington."
There was a long pause.
"Jesus, Smith, that's low. Even for you," Remo said.
"I'm sorry you feel that way, but it's what we signed on for."
"I never signed on," Remo snapped. "I was shanghaied, remember?"
"Only because you were the right one. The right one."
The phone went dead in Smith's hand. He did not hang up. His arthritic knuckles were white on the blue receiver. His brain, ordinarily as precise and logical as a computer, could not process this new information. Remo and Chun, quitting. Madmen were on the loose, and America's giant cities were faced with destruction, and the country's best chance for survival had just up and left without so much as an explanation. As he sat clutching the receiver, Smith heard a muted thudding and wondered for a moment who would be banging nails at Fulcroft in the dead of night. Then he realized that the pounding was the blood in his own ears. Woodenly, he replaced the phone in its cradle and looked at his computer monitor, a single, accusing eye staring up at him from the depths of his desk. And for the first time in over 40 years as head of Cure, Dr. Harold W. Smith had not a clue what to do next. So, he did the only thing he had always known how to do. He called up the reports on his computer and began to study them again. Maybe something, somewhere, somehow, there was some answer in the endless flood of paper reports.